You are listening to an exclusive podcast on Money Control.
Due to acute disparity in learning levels caused by social, economic, geographic, and other factors, India may be in the danger of underutilizing or losing out on the untapped capital of human potential. Education technology, or EdTech, could play a vital role in meeting the learning needs of underserved sections of the populace. In this space, the name we hear loudest, of course, is Byju's, the Bangalore-based company valued at over $4 billion, or $5 billion according to some other estimates, which also raised $540 million from NASPERS and others only last year. It is the fourth most valued startup in the country. Unacademy, or Unacademy, which, much like Byju's, also offers online tutoring to students, has raised $38.5 million to date. Last year in December, Topper, another edtech startup which claims to have 6 million users, had raised $35 million, led by education-focused investor Kaizen Private Equity. College Dekho has raised upwards of $13 million to date. Even Mukesh Ambani seems to want a slice of the Indian edtech pie, considering he bought a 38.5% stake in Noida-based startup ExtraMarks. Byju's might have put Indian edtech on the global map, but increasingly, the space is more than just Byju's. India's education market, estimated to grow to $5.7 billion by 2020, has emerged as a lucrative opportunity for edtech startups and VCs alike. On this edition of Digging Deeper with Money Control with me, Rakesh Sharma, we will try to understand both the potential of edtech startups and the reasons why some of them have succeeded spectacularly in what was, only a few years ago, a relatively unexplored field. The story of the Indian edtech space, more than just Byju's, right here on Digging Deeper with Money Control with me, Rakesh Sharma.
The Deep Dive podcast series.
A recent Financial Express report cited a study by Karthik Muralidharan of the University of California at San Diego, Abhijit Singh of the Stockholm School of Economics, and Alejandro J. Ganimian of the NYU Steinhardt School, according to which incorporation of educational technology can help accurately assess learning levels and customize pedagogical support to bridge intra-classroom gaps. Now, we know that all students don't learn alike, and sometimes these edtech innovations can actually help bridge the gap between those who learn fast and those who don't. Andhra Pradesh, we are told, is pioneering tech-enabled pedagogy, and as an early bird adopter of edtech, it will be leagues ahead of other states. The piece went on to say, and I quote, "The state from the current academic year will be using PAL, or Personalized Adaptive Learning, which is a software-based assessment of the academic standing of the students in a classroom. PAL will first assess the students' comprehension levels and then prescribe targeted learning. Students will take the test online, and based on their individual reports, remedial coaching will be provided. Apart from facilitating tailored learning, PAL will also ease monitoring of impact of remedial classes via dashboards for individual students where teachers can track progress." Unquote. PAL is being rolled out in over 2,600 schools in Andhra Pradesh. After tests in 56 schools proved successful, many schools will engage with PAL via laptop, but others will do so over tablets. The initiative, as per a report in the New Indian Express, will involve intensive training of teachers, school administration and bureaucrats, and is expected to impact over 2.5 million children. Andhra Pradesh is in fact experimenting with edtech in a big way. According to the piece, after introducing QR codes in non-language subject textbooks, the state is now doing the same for language textbooks for classes 6 to 10. The New Indian Express said, and I quote, "Scanning the QR codes assigned to different chapters, students can access supplementary video lectures or tutorials. They can also use the QR codes to take quick online assessment tests that will help them, their parents and teachers measure their actual levels of comprehension. Such an ecosystem surely makes addressing gaps in learning levels easier than the conventional method of remedial classes. Also, given boards like CBSE are now increasingly reliant on school's own assessment of learning levels, by mandating compulsory internal assessment for boards, pedagogy, propped by technology, can be made to deliver more efficiently." End quote. At another level, EdTech startups are benefiting from growing interest, not just in India, but also from overseas markets. The interest, not just domestically, but also internationally, are resulting in big numbers. The News Minute carried a report recently which spoke about how New Delhi-based EdTech startup ExploraBox raised an undisclosed amount in funding from Succeed Venture Partners. The four founders of ExploraBox include Rishi and Shweta Das, Dhirendra Meena, and Rishabh Gupta. The startup was founded in 2015. The funds will be used to scale up and establish overseas presence, beginning with North America and GCC countries, as it targets a revenue of 100 crore rupees in 3 years. The other investors to have participated in this round include Green Shoots Capital, Metaform Ventures LLC, Jito Angel Network, Swan Angel Network, etc. And what has ExploraBox been up to? Well, it has come up with a business model that has a subscription box for learning through play in children. Quoting from the piece, the basic objective is to try and wean away the kids aged between 2 and 12 from TV and mobile and channelize their attention to other constructive activities. Learning through fun is their mantra, with fun stories and educational activities which are offered through their boxes. The company has served more than 50,000 customers and dispatching kits to over 500 cities every month. Unquote. I said dispatching kits, K-I-T-S, not kids, because that would be a very different business then. According to Rishi, on an average, children are spending over 3 hours every day in front of screens, and that is impacting their brain development. ExploraBox provides modules to boost essential developmental skills of the children. The startup believes that the 50,000 customers they've serviced so far have reported excellent response, and more products could get launched in the coming months. The aim is to provide learning aids that can enhance various developmental skills like motor skills, cognitive skills, etc. in children to counter issues like computer vision syndrome, unhealthy posture, and increasing cases of myopia or short-sightedness. The startup is looking at prospects running into billions with the large population of kids in the target age group and hopes to tap into more potential markets. If you know any new parents, you know that one of their biggest woes is that their children want too much screen time. And there is one company addressing just that. The thing about EdTech is simply this. I mean, if there are modules that help you crack competitive exams, there are others that help you through schoolwork. And then there are others which are targeting small children and toddlers to make sure that they are not spending as much screen time. The EdTech market keeps expanding and reinventing itself. In a recent development, Byju's and Disney may launch a co-branded new app targeting kindergarten to class 3 students. The Economic Times reported, and I quote, the partnership is in line with Byju's aspirations to expand beyond India into other large English-speaking markets such as the US, UK and Australia. Disney Byju's Early Learn, as the service is called, will be a standalone app that is likely to go live sometime in this month. There have been talks that Disney has made a financial investment into Byju's, but that has not come through yet, sources have said. Apart from using the name of the Burbank, California headquartered company, the app will boast of characters from popular Disney brands such as Cars, Toy Story, and Frozen. Unquote. Imagine learning condensation and rain through the help of Elsa, the Ice Queen. Byju's has entered into a revenue-sharing agreement with Disney. While the exact terms of the deal could not be ascertained, it is learned to be in the range of a 10-15% revenue share that Disney usually gets. ET went on to say, and I quote, while Byju's will oversee all content created for the app, Disney is expected to work closely with the EdTech firm to ensure stories are weaved around its characters. Kids using the app will get to watch video-based tutorials that will feature its popular cartoon characters. Even though the current deal with Disney is strictly a revenue-sharing agreement, Byju's has been in talks with the media giant to explore an opportunity for investments as well. In March, when Byju's raised $25 million in funding from General Atlantic, its valuation jumped to $5.4 billion, making it the fourth most valuable private internet company in India. Well, that said, it's not all as easy as ABC. There are several challenges that the EdTech space faces. With time, EdTech companies are dealing with challenges like growing customer acquisition costs. A recent ET Tech piece addresses this very issue. It points out how India's fast-growing educational technology space is now going full steam ahead to build organic user acquisition channels. The average cost per click on digital channels goes up 5-7% every year organically, but it could be around 30% year-on-year for EdTech since it is seasonal for most players, according to industry watchers. Moreover, India suffers from extremely low conversion rates as courses are often large-ticket purchases. The report says increasing cost of user acquisition has forced players like Edureka to acquire 60% users organically through free YouTube videos and high-quality blogs. Still, the company spends 1 crore rupees every month on digital marketing. Lavleen Bhatia, co-founder and CEO of Edureka, says, and I quote, "You can't win with Google and Facebook, so you need to find other channels of acquiring customers. For us, our blog, community and YouTube videos have worked well so far." Unquote. Edureka is also working on an AI chatbot that will advise users on how to build their careers, and Bhatia hopes that the counseling bot, which they are trying to make open source, will add to customer acquisition. Byju's is a leader in the K-12 education sector, and it is looking at television as it freezes digital ad spends. The company has begun advertising regionally with celebrity endorsers. They have launched campaigns with Mohanlal in Kerala and Mahesh Babu in Andhra Pradesh and Telangana, and plan to launch many regional ads in the coming year, and their spend on TV advertising will be roughly 20% of their total revenue. Byju's reported 1,400 crore rupees in revenues in the previous fiscal and is expecting a twofold growth in the current year. The piece also mentions Simply Learn, another e-learning platform for tech professionals, which gets 1.5 million monthly visitors on its site, out of which 50,000 convert into inquiries. Out of that, 10,000 to 12,000 end up buying its services. So look at the ratio there, 1.5 million visitors, eventually 10 to 12,000 buying the services. That's a huge drop in the numbers. The conversion in India is simply not good. Krishna Kumar, who is the CEO of Simply Learn, says in the piece that 40% of its inbounds are from referrals and another big chunk from free video uploads on YouTube. It would have otherwise spent $1.5 million each month on digital channels just to sustain current inbound traffic, he says. Eduditus, which is an online executive training platform, says a majority of its users come through ads on Google, Facebook, LinkedIn and Pinterest. Ashwin Damera, CEO of Eduditus, says in the article that the cost per lead for its course on design thinking, which it does in partnership with MIT, is $15 in India versus $35 in the US. However, acquiring users in India is more expensive as conversion rates, as I've already mentioned before, are 5 times lower in India than in the United States. So one of the challenges in the EdTech space has been customer acquisition and just which avenues you use in order to get them. Clearly, the opportunities and the amount of money to be made there far outweigh the challenges that the space faces. On an earlier podcast, we had examined the boom in the e-learning business scape in India and profiled e-learning companies like Vedantu, which in November last year had managed to raise $11 million in a Series B funding round. Vedantu, as we know, is an interactive online tutoring platform where teachers provide school tuitions to students over the internet using a real-time virtual learning environment called Wave, which is an in-house technology. That brings us to the point we began with. Such technological development initiatives push e-learning beyond regular pedagogical methods. Companies are making learning sessions more personalized by tracking the student's attention span and concept understanding using machine learning, facial recognition, etc. While trying to understand India's EdTech space, it is worth remembering what a huge market it is. A joint study by Google and KPMG had estimated that the online education sector in India would grow at a CAGR of a whopping 52% to $1.96 billion by 2021. The idea that brick-and-mortar structures are obsolete for expansive learning is at the core of the e-learning boom in India. And it's not just Vedantu, but most e-learning businesses, including Byju's and Unacademy, understand the limitations of conventional teaching and learning and the potential of technology-driven education models which can reinvent themselves to keep up with the evolving needs of the students. The way I learnt in school all the way back in the 90s and early 2000s is very different from the way my cousins are learning. And conventional methods don't necessarily keep up with the pace, but technology can. Technology also has a wider reach than brick and mortar structures, and content startups can reach up to 200 to 300 million new internet users from tier 2 and tier 3 cities. Just to refresh your memory, Un Academy has raised a neat $21 million in a Series C round, and Baiju's unicorn status is India's fourth most valuable internet startup behind Paytm, Ola and Oyo is only too well known. What is a unicorn in business terms? If you don't particularly understand business terms like that, well, it is a privately held startup company valued at over $1 billion. And as it happens, by that measure, Baiju's is about five times a unicorn. The term unicorn was coined in 2013 by venture capitalist Aileen Lee, choosing the mythical animal to represent the statistical rarity of such successful ventures. The brand's success story is now even a Harvard Business School case study, no less. So, Baiju's is one of the companies that have led the edtech revolution in this country. We've addressed some of the challenges faced by this space, and we know some of the big names operating in this space. We also know what a huge market India is. But what are the factors contributing to this boom? Let's take the example of Baiju's and learn a little bit more. But first, the upsurge in e-learning enterprises could partly be attributed to inexpensive data costs and the increased access to high-speed internet. And with 500 million more Indians expected to be online for the first time in the near future, there is simply no reason to think small. Some other big dreamers in this space are MeritNation, QMath and Topper, and Baiju's is a success story to emulate for many. Mint reported, and I quote, "Baiju's is part of a small but growing number of tech startups that have rapidly grown their businesses and consistently attracted blue-chip investors. In July 2017, Baiju's raised about $40 million from Tencent Holdings months after raising $30 million from Verlinvest. Since starting out in 2008, Baiju's has raised over $240 million from Tencent, Verlinvest, Chan Zuckerberg Initiative, Sequoia Capital, Lightspeed Venture Partners, and Arin Capital, among others." Unquote. This was, of course, before the Naspers round, which raised about $540 million. Quality education is not equally dispersed in India, and that has fueled the need for e-learning modules. Roman Saini, co-founder and chief educator of Un Academy, had written in the Hindustan Times on the 8th of November last year, and I quote, "The education divide in India with respect to quality and accessibility have existed for far too long. It is difficult for the existing physical infrastructure to meet the learning needs of the burgeoning population of our country, which will touch 1.5 billion by 2030 and 1.7 billion by 2050. That is equal to the population of China and the United States combined. Digital is gaining acceptance across numerous sectors, and it is only right that the education sector too reaps benefits of this digital transformation." Unquote. There are, of course, barriers created by inadequate infrastructure, concentrated content, and language issues that prevent large numbers of knowledge-hungry demographics from the benefits of a global education. As Saini says, it is impossible to have great teachers in each and every village or district in India. Similarly, the best teachers should not be restricted to certain institutes of the world. And this is where e-learning comes in. It can level the playing field for all students. Students in both rural and urban areas can get access to the best learning resources, learn at their own pace and in the comfort of their own homes. Another key advantage with e-learning is that it is much easier to design courses with the latest online reference material than publishing crores of books. Unquote. The possibility that online education could benefit India's youth that forms more than 50% of the population is exciting for e-learning entrepreneurs, educators and potential learners, and indeed venture capitals who stand to make a ton of money. So yes, those are the factors contributing to the boom. And what are the new methodologies, apart from all of the stuff that I mentioned earlier about latest reference material, no need to publish textbooks, etc., that these companies are employing? E-learning predictably expands the scope, depth, and reach of information with interactive tools, artificial intelligence, and technology, as well as live online interaction. Baiju Ravindran believes e-learning can develop and inculcate personal initiative in students, and that bodes well for their future success as opposed to the spoon-feeding that conventional education dispenses here in India. He told Mint in April 2017 that even when he was not an education entrepreneur, he was known for pre-exam hacks and shortcuts that made him an exceptional student. After nailing a perfect score in CAT twice and after turning down interview calls from all the IIMs and working abroad for a couple of years, he decided to take 6 months out to see what would happen if what he had learned was taught with a structure. So successful was his module that Ravindran started conducting workshops on the weekend, with the classes growing in popularity. When one classroom wasn't enough to accommodate students, he booked an entire auditorium with a seating capacity of 1,200. From jet-setting across India to teach, he decided to take his modules to students, and a success story was born in 2011. At the core of his teaching module and business module is not derivation, but independence, logic, and life skills. Soon, he started using a video format. As Mint told us, his high production value videos and content caters to the K-12, that is kindergarten to class 12 segment, with more than 500 members in the research and development team. Mint also reported that there are about 20 million children between classes 6 and classes 12 in India who have access to the internet and take private coaching classes, which translates to an addressable market opportunity of $2.5 billion, as Red Seer Consulting said in a piece of research. Not surprising then that since launching in 2015, the Baiju's app has had more than 6 million downloads. The number of people who buy its premium service is growing every month, according to the firm. What also benefits the company is that a student starting young with Baiju's will possibly continue with the company, and it is then looking at a 4-year or 7-year timeline with the same user. So if you start out, let's say, in class 9, you finish your 10th boards and then 12th boards, and then perhaps even do your engineering or medical classes with them, and then perhaps even your IAS lessons or GMAT lessons or GRE lessons. So we are looking at as much as 4 to 7-year timelines with the same user. Baiju's has also designed personalized learning through what it calls a knowledge graph. The app learns which concepts a student may need more time to practice and adjusts the learning plans accordingly. Ravindran also told Mint, and I quote, "Our product and go-to market are both targeted at students. B2C is our only channel. We are not trying to change the system. It can easily coexist with the system. It is not a replacement for teachers," unquote. Baiju's dream is to take education deeper and try and bridge India's rural and urban divide, and to create a learning culture where students learn and not just memorize, and develop a lifelong thirst for knowledge that was earlier restricted by the fear of exams. The Baiju's smartphone app and portal, apart from offering study material for classes 4 to 12, also offers help to succeed at competitive exams like JEE, NEET, CAT, IAS, GRE, and GMAT. A Sunday Guardian piece by Priya Singh about just how digital technology has proved to be a disruptive force for the education sector in India and has changed the old paradigms of teaching is a useful one to refer to. As she wrote, according to this new model of education, driven for the most part by technology or digital technology, the teacher is sidelined as content, as learning, takes center stage, unquote. She also cites Baiju's success to prove her point and mentions the numbers that, of course, deserve to be repeated again. The platform has over 22 million registered users, 1.4 million paid subscribers, an addition of 1.5 million registered users every month, and the pride of becoming the first Asian company to get investment from the Chan Zuckerberg Initiative, which is the philanthropic organization founded by Facebook's boss Mark Zuckerberg and his wife Priscilla Chan. And all this was achieved in just 3 years. The possibilities of learning online are inexhaustible, and Coursera, a California-based online learning platform that offers certified courses from the world's best universities, including Yale, Princeton, and Stanford, has been adding rapidly to its subscriber base in India. I myself have done a course in medical epidemiology and I think statistics from Coursera. That was a Stanford course, and I can attest that it was a very good course. Raghav Gupta, who is the director, India and APAC at Coursera, told Sunday Guardian, and I quote, India has a lot to gain from online learning. About 1 million people enter the workforce every month with no guarantee that they will have the competencies to succeed in jobs of the future. Even as technology renders many skills obsolete, online learning will be the transformative force that empowers millions to acquire new skills. We see this trend reflected in our growth in India. We now have 3.3 million Indian learners on the platform while adding 60,000 new users every month. Our platform is giving employers and professionals the much-needed opportunity to access the best and most relevant content the world has to offer and learn the skills needed to compete in the new company. Unquote. Another big player is edX, which is a MOOC platform, or a Massive Open Online Course platform founded by the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, or MIT, and Harvard University. It offers courses on subjects like artificial intelligence, machine learning, data science, business and management, leadership, soft skills, and so on. And not just students, but teachers can also benefit from e-learning by referring to online courses taught by world-class professors and adopt flip learning pedagogy. Observers and most e-learning businesses agree, though, that classroom learning cannot be replaced, but it can certainly be updated. The piece quotes Divya Gokulnath of Byju's, who said, and I quote, technology has played a key role in disrupting this sector and will continue to shape the teacher-student relationship by offering better accessibility, distribution, and formats of delivery. Unquote. If the way we speak to our friends, if the way we interact with the world is changing, why shouldn't the way we learn change? And that is precisely the revolution that is afoot in the country.
The Deep Dive podcast series.
So, well, there it is. The dream of learning from a Harvard University professor in a small Indian town no longer seems impossible. And the chalk and talk module may be in for a long-term overhaul. The world is becoming a smaller place each day. And with it, the dreams of children everywhere in the world are becoming bigger. And EdTech is helping them realizing these dreams. Do write into us, mcpodcast@nw18.com. Until the next time you hear from me, this is me, Rakesh Sharma, on behalf of the Money Control Podcast Desk, saying thank you for joining us and do stay with us on moneycontrol.com to be a smart listener and an even smarter investor.
This has been a Digging Deeper podcast, and you have been listening to Money Control.